Chapter 1. St. Pancras is the patron saint of children, and is invoked against perjury and false witness. Anonymous. In the first moment of waking, he had no idea who he was. He floated, his mind rising slowly from the dim pool of sleep. The hard ridge of his own knuckles pressed against his cheekbone. He realized he was lying on his side. When he moved his hand, he felt the scrape of stubble. Experimentally, he ran his tongue around his mouth, then swallowed against the fuzziness and the sour aftertaste of beer. Sound began to filter in, little bursts, like old radio static. Was it girls' voices? For a moment he thought it was his daughters, giggling with their friends. Was he home? But no. There was urgency in this conversation, not laughter. People were arguing. There was a female voice, then a male. He shifted, feeling his sleeping bag slither against his skin, then the press of the hard boards of the old wooden floor beneath him. Not at home then. Not in his own bed, beside his wife. Awareness flooded in. He was in the flat in the Caledonian Road. The smell of frying chicken rose from the takeaway on the ground floor, making his already queasy stomach turn over. He realized that the hand under his face was icy. The flat was cold. The voices grew louder, nearer. He picked out Matthew, arrogant, impatient, impassioned, then Paul, protesting but sullen with it, beginning to whine. He would talk to them. Together he and Wren could make them see sense. Wren. Oh God! Memory returned, and with it despair so crushing it took his breath away. Wren was gone. Now he knew who he was, and exactly where he was. He didn't think he could bear it. And then he remembered what he had to do that day. London was miserably cold for mid-March. There were a few hardy crocuses showing their heads in the parks and private gardens, but hard frost had nipped the daffodils and turned the early blossoms on the fruit trees crystalline. Detective Superintendent Duncan Kincaid walked to Southampton Row from Holborn Tube Station, his coat collar turned up, neck swaddled in a wool scarf, gloved hands shoved deep in his overcoat pockets. The sky was as dark as gunmetal, and when he turned east into Theobald's Road, a blast of wind almost pushed him off his feet. Lowering his head, he trudged on. The weather boffins said the wind was blowing from the Siberian steppes. He wondered if he should consider one of those Russian hats with the ear flaps. At least he now understood why the Russians wore the silly-looking things. He quickened his pace as the concrete bulk of Holborn Police Station came into view. Although its architectural design might have come straight from the Gulag, it at least promised warmth. Holborn Station. His home away from home for more than 2 weeks now. Yet he still felt as displaced as he had on his first awkward day, and as angry. Returning to Scotland Yard from paternity leave in mid-February, he'd found his office empty. He'd been transferred from his long-time job as head of a homicide liaison team at the Yard to an area major incident team based here in Holborn. It was a demotion, although he had kept his rank. There had been no warning and no explanation. His immediate superior, Chief Superintendent Dennis Childs, had been called out of the country on a family emergency. That had added a second worry atop the first, as Kincaid and his family had been letting Childs' sister Liz's home in Notting Hill, while her husband worked a 5-year contract in Singapore. Kincaid had come to like Liz Davies, although they had only communicated via email. He hoped that the out-of-the-country emergency didn't include her.